afternoon.
Well, good afternoon to you, too.
Please forgive any coughing that breaks out. I can't believe it. It's going to be. This is like when I was a kid.
It's kind of like the emphysema ward at the hospital.
It is, too. It's very annoying. So I would be the wheezy Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
And next week on Christmas, show's actually on Christmas.
You'll still be Aaron Ryan.
I was going to leave that to people's imagination.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Unless Santa's bringing you something different that we don't know about.
No.
Okay, that's good. Your mom would be so disappointed.
Yeah, no.
Call me Chelsea or yeah. That's a Christmas surprise.
Who's this?
I have no jokes about packaging or any of that. That is right there for me, but I thought I'd walk past it. Anyway, I know, there's so much to say. So we're going to... We've made Christmas dirty. That's lovely, isn't it? A little spare time here, and we've made Christmas bad. So you're playing Christmas music next week, yes?
Lots of it, yes.
Is that the plan? And so we're doing, what, 1 hour of nice music and 1 hour of funny music? Did we land on that?
We had discussed that last week. That's right, yes.
I thought we were going to do it.
An hour of traditional music and an hour of spoofs.
Yeah, there you go. Swing from one side to the other.
So we're not gonna do what they did on Coast to Coast last night.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, last night on Coast to Coast, they had some guy on whose name is gone from my mind. I think permanently.
Yes.
Who had this whole historical thing that Jesus was someone totally different, and that he had a twin brother.
He was a revolutionary.
Oh, yeah, he was a revolutionary.
And he armed the apostles. The apostles were all armed.
They all had swords.
Yes.
And which tied into the King Arthur myth about the sword and the stone. Yeah, because Arthur and Jesus were like the same.
That's the fake news alarm just went off.
I was just laying there in bed at 1:30 in the morning, just all mad, you know. It's a week before Christmas. What's this guy doing?
But he had several wives and 9 children, too.
Yeah, 9 children. It just got...
Oh, yeah, it got bizarre.
It just got nuttier and nuttier. Yeah. So anyway, we're not going to ruin Christmas like that.
No, we won't be doing that.
No shows like that. Yuck. Today we've got Jim Lee, who will be joining us in about 20 minutes or so. And I forget the name of the other guy. It was a guy I don't know, but they're doing a program together right now. And now, how's this? We don't know Jim yet at all, but Jim already blamed the scheduling problem on his wife.
That's my man right there. That's no problem calling
he'll,
it.
He'll feel right at home here.
Yeah, you boys should enjoy that. Yeah, he called this morning while I was sleeping. And right before we left, I thought I should check my phone that's been on vibrate, and that's never a good idea on the day of the show. And I see that there was a call from Jim, and he said, well... my wife wrote down that we were going to be, he's East Coast, so we're going to be on at 4, not at 3. And he goes, I have to be on with Craig. Is his name Craig? Anyway, whatever the heck his name is. This other guy at 3 o'clock. So you're going to split the difference. He's going to come on with the other guy at 3:30, and we're going to chat. And I think you guys are going to like it. We've got some interesting ideas
today.
He's
coming on with the guy whose show he's going to be on?
So somehow they're morphing their show.
Are we like simulcasting Craig's show for a half hour?
Something like that. We're all together. Okay. We're going to do togetherness.
We want a pound of flesh for that.
Jim is a heap big geek, actually. He actually really is, and he can prove it. He isn't one of those guys who just talks about being, you know, smarty pants. He has Climate Viewer News at climateviewer.com, but he also has this Climate Viewer 3D, and I have linked that up. You just got to go there if you're anywhere near a computer. It's the actual web address is climateviewer.org/3D. And this has, obviously, the whole... Earth, but it has an overlay of, I can't even tell you how many, I have no idea how many programs.
Oh, because it covers everything from earthquakes to volcanoes to
you can zoom in anywhere
hurricanes.
On the earth and look at it all in 3D and who's tracking what with whom.
Oh, yeah, it gives you all the reports on all the latest, pretty much anything that's going on around the world, climate or it's know, atmospherically, it's all there.
I was playing around with it yesterday, and it was amazing.
Oh, you could spend all day on
it. It's described here an open source geophysical monitoring map with live intel streaming onto a gorgeous 3D globe. And that's true, and you get to pick your globe. You can have it be dark with bits of light. You can have it be blue ocean and brown land. You've got a lot of choices, too, which is kind of fun. CV3D, so Climate Viewer 3D, features an encyclopedic list of exclusive maps resulting in thousands of hours of personal education bliss not found anywhere else on the internet, let alone all in one place. So it is really, it's very stunning. He's also compiled the largest volume of geoengineering and weather modification history into one massive timeline, complete with a company directory, patents, sponsors, experiment map, and even live weather derivatives tracking. And that can be found at weathermodificationhistory.com. But I tried that, and there was something goofy going on with that link. And his quote here is, "I'm forever a Boy Scout, lifetime artist, nocturnal programmer. Music is my life. Love is my religion. And I'm the luckiest husband and father on earth." That's before he threw his wife under the bus, actually.
Yeah. We'll have to talk to him about that.
I have a passion for mapping mysteries and mayhem. So I think that's going to be tons of fun. And someone's already calling us, probably to ask us why the hell we're stalling for time.
Get on with it.
Da, 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 da. Our friend Laura Barnett's here. We were going to rope her into this conversation, but she was actually even later than we were.
It's Billy Bob from Palisadro with greetings.
Billy Bob.
Billy Bob, we haven't heard from him
Merry
in a long
Christmas
time.
To you.
Hey, my favorite commentator. You're going to go syndicated national here pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. Not after today.
My comment is on your first opening about the Coast to Coast show last night.
Yeah, was it nuts?
How incredible was that? This guy, hey, he's no smuts. I mean, this guy has got more information than Notre Dame is. I mean, and he has researched it all, and it is absolutely incredible what he was saying.
Yeah, we just came in at the
Mary
incredible
Madeline
part.
Had over $20 billion worth of gold. And it's just absolutely incredible.
So it was more incredible if you actually heard the whole show rather than just jump in the last half hour?
Oh.
Because in the last half hour, it just sounded like craziness to us.
Oh, you didn't hear the whole thing?
No. We just caught the craziness at the end and thought...
Just enough to make me mad.
No, you're going to have to go archive that or something.
Oh, yeah. We just went to bed angry.
No, he had all the details where Medina and the Holy Grail and everything. And he's got it all pegged together.
And
this
then he
guy
walked,
is no smug.
Yeah, and he walked his way all the way to King Arthur, which I thought was... That was
well,
did it make sense?
That's just... I don't know. I'm as at a loss as you are, but I just wanted to make a comment that I listened to the whole program, and I was absolutely just going, oh, my God, you've got to be kidding me. So anyway.
Yeah, we were doing that, too, but for different reasons, I guess. We guess we better listen to the whole thing, huh?
Mary Madeline was Jesus' wife, and she had $20 billion. So.
Yeah, that was a newsflash. Sure.
Tom Brady didn't have any better. So anyway,
Bob wants to make sure she wasn't James Carville's wife.
See you guys.
Thanks,
Bye,
Billy Bob.
Have a Merry Christmas.
He said Mary Madeline.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was very odd. But it was right before Christmas, and we were like, what? What is this?
Yeah, that's poor.
All right,
poor
so thing. I guess you have to go back and listen to the whole thing. As with all things, you can't take them out of context. All right, Bob, you better give us a little break, or we'll be tardy in our stalling little blurb here. So we'll be back with more fun insights we didn't plan to give you, and our fabulous guest, Jim Lee. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Gonna trim the tree until I got high. Ooh, I was gonna buy you a DVD, but then I got high.
I got high. Welcome to California Christmas.
California Christmas. That's
isn't that great? Just, now that won't be a funny song anymore.
Light them if you have them.
Is that a little sneak preview on what they're going to hear next Sunday?
That's what you might recall. We played the original version of that on the show we did on marijuana a few months back.
Apparently my marijuana related song file is like just got all scrambled in there. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I lost focus. I don't remember, dude.
Anyway, that was the Bob Rivers Twisted Christmas version of that song, Because I Got High, except he calls it Because I Got High.
Oh. See, that's why
available
we have
at
you.
Popular prices everywhere.
Being sold in a bin somewhere. So, you would never know this, but we have five extra people in the studio today. They're all mute, and they came in to see how radio works. And they're over there smiling with their lips like sewn shut, and I'm sure that they're never this quiet. I was like, oh, well, it'll be fun. They'll be here. Somebody move them by the microphone. Move over.
I will just leave the mic open in the event any of them actually wants to speak.
In the event that anyone actually makes sound?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, everybody's afraid somebody's going to see them. Except that's why we're on the radio. You can tell by how dressed up we get that we're on the radio.
Well, I've always said I got a face for radio. Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's awesome.
Everything is awesome.
Everything's awesome. Everything's
it's
awesome today.
Terrific.
Awesomeness. All right. How many more minutes? All right. How about that election? Do we have any more good election music, Bob? Play my favorite song.
What, you can't always get what you want? What?
No, that'll just start the wailing again. We don't want to bring up
but
any
it
bad
has
memories.
Been the wailing has
why,
been
why
fan-
is Trump using that? I know he played that at the convention, and then they played it at the rally again
what?
The other day. The Rolling Stones, you can't always get what you want.
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's rubbing salt in the wound.
I don't know, but that's kind of perfect.
Okay, that's a good theory. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, get used to it. Because it's not going away for a while.
Yeah, you know, and then we've got, let's see, need to read my favorite quote again. You guys will like this. All my mutes. We're playing to the mutes now. If I offend you, cry me a river. I'll bring snacks and a raft. I will literally float down your tears, eating chips and working on my tan. Isn't that the best? Is that the best ever? That's a pretty good one, huh? I know, I've enjoyed that quite a bit this past week.
So, but
how about them bears?
Have you noticed the safety pins?
No, I haven't seen the safety pin thing. Is the safety pin pin thing big at your school?
No.
Does anybody care about any of the election stuff at your school?
At my school, they do.
Because your high school?
High school, still not so much.
High school, they don't care so much?
Middle school,
do they care? Really?
Well, that's not what they're saying on the news. They're saying you guys are going to, like, skip class and go out and protest because you're so upset.
What's happening in okay, so middle school, do the kids care or do the teachers care? Really?
Talking about it.
Did they bring in some dogs for you to cuddle up?
Puppies and Play-Doh and stuff. Do you have safe space?
Color crayons.
Because you're so sad.
What team are they on? Are they happy or sad?
I think they're pretty happy.
Oh, they're mostly happy. Oh,
there you go.
I think they're happy because mom's happy.
It's good to be here.
Well, they need to just be quiet then.
Okay, so how about high school? Mostly happy, mostly sad?
Mostly happy,
yeah. See, other parents.
That's why we don't hear anything.
Sure.
That's not news.
Because they can all go back. All their parents can now, you know, think about going back to work. And is that it?
We're starting businesses.
Yeah, you guys might be able to find jobs again.
Yeah.
What a novel idea. You could move out one day, huh? I never wanted to do that, though. I wanted to stay home forever. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lie.
That was a huge lie.
Yeah.
I loved home, but I was done with home, and it was time to go. It was time to go. Never go back. So what else is big at school? Oh, sure.
Anybody see Star Wars Rogue One?
Okay, I just want you to realize four out of the five people in this room are girls. So this blows this whole theory about the chatty girls. Oh, somebody has a boyfriend. Let's bring that up. That's just fun for everybody right there.
You know, they're passing laws about bullying. So,
oh,
you know, but you're walking on a thin line here.
See, if I'm ever in one of those movies where all of a sudden I'm a kid again, yeah, I'm busted for bullying all the time. It's going to be bad. It's going to be really bad. Imagine the shock. All the niceness that's going on now, and you have to, I don't know, they enforce it or something, right?
That's right.
How's it working out?
No,
people still kind of.
It's just a joke.
Yeah, people still, is it teasing, or is teasing different than it used to be, or, I mean, is it really as bad as we?
I feel like it's less bad, but they try to enforce it, and everyone just takes it as a joke.
We scoff at your teasing enforcement.
So it's just like before, the grown-ups have this great idea, and then they impose it on the kids, and the kids secretly all turn their backs and just laugh. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so nothing's changed.
Well, we agree.
I feel less old now all of a sudden. Maybe I could cut it there.
Yeah, we had quite a conversation about the whole bullying thing last night. We were watching something on television.
There was some big bullying thing.
Far away. Being called a deplorable, is that being bullied?
Yeah.
Being called a deplorable. I think so.
Probably.
Yeah. I needed counseling after that comment.
Bill was really hurt.
I was hurt.
Crowd, but.
We haven't crammed this many deplorables into one room in a long time.
That wasn't me.
It's probably not legal. I know. Look at the microphone. We're swinging it. It's on like the swinging boom, and it's going closer and closer. And
there you go. No hiding.
No hiding.
Yeah, I think the whole deplorable comment, that was definitely bullying, but it was on the other side, so it wasn't considered bullying.
Right. It's only bullying if it's us.
Yeah.
Kind of funny how that works. So I just thought I'd let people know the G. Edward Griffin interview from last week is up there with no commercials, and I got to tell you, people have been listening to that a lot.
We got a lot of feedback from that.
Yeah, pushing like 400 hits a day just on the website of listening to the archive. So, kind of fun. I guess everybody really liked him. We should have him back. He was a very smart man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything going forward into the new year. We're wide open. So if you have any brainy ideas, go to wethepeopleradio.us and shoot us an email or a phone call. It's right there on the front page. And
If it's a good idea, we'll put it on. If it's a bad idea, we'll tell you it's a bad idea. We'll just, you know.
No, we'll just lose your email.
Yeah.
Isn't that how we do it these days?
Well,
we don't have any confrontation, right? Because bullying is bad.
That's right.
Right?
Oh, that's a great idea. We will definitely consider that.
We write back and tell you, yeah. We send them back the fake automatic. We're on vacation.
Thank you for your response.
Yeah, we're on vacation for the next week.
Please do not reply to this email.
Yeah. Please.
Yeah.
Do not reply. Oh, my gosh. Bob?
No.
You're like over there in a zone of your own. How are we doing?
No calls on Skype yet, but we can break anytime you like.
Oh, okay. Why don't we do that? Because it's...
Yeah, then we don't have to bunch all our breaks up when we do have something to talk about.
Yeah, with 5 minutes notice, I didn't have a big long list this morning or this afternoon. Yeah, I still think it's morning.
I should have grabbed the paper on the way in because that's always fun.
That's always good fodder.
Yeah, good fodder.
Maybe we couldn't get our mitts on a Contra Costa Times. That's good fodder.
We go down
to my mom's house. We just sit there at the kitchen table.
I need anger management after reading that.
So ridiculous. All right. So anyway, if you want to make programming like this stop, then you should send us a long list of guests with wives who know how to tell time, and or women, actually, who are not the wives who don't know how to tell time. And you can find our information at wethepeopleradio.us.
Didn't I get this last year?
Didn't I get this last year? Same thing every year, Aunt Louise.
Didn't I get this last year?
Didn't I get this last year?
Some socks, and some tiny DVDs. But I can't get them up past my knees. Could you return them, please, Aunt Louise? Open this one first, Uncle Bob. Did
Didn't I get this last year?
Didn't I get this last year?
Tried to act surprised, Uncle Bob. But I got this last year.
But he got that last year.
A tie, wider than a mile, with a pattern way out of style. With a pattern that's way out of style.
I love the colored lights every year, and the way that neighbors stop their cars and stare. I strap a Santa Claus on my roof. Plastic candy canes and reindeer everywhere.
I'm stringing up decorations. It's draining the power stations. Fake icicle light formations. Imported from third world nations. I'm stringing up decorations. I'm freaking out by your stations. I'm pumping out radiation. My neighbors are out of patience.
Come on, knock it off. It's 3 in the morning.
Gotta keep those Yuletide decorations up all winter.
God appreciates my plugged-in tribute to the Savior. God would love it if I could keep them up till well past Easter.
Well, there we go.
That was us singing.
Yeah, that was,
sounded good, didn't we?
Yeah.
Until we started with the really high, you know, that part.
Well,
I'm
an a cappella kind of guy.
That wasn't good.
So, you know.
we took a bad turn there. Oh, Bob. What?
This is the first we've been stood up by another show.
Yeah, with sort our of. Guy who's on another show who's
yeah,
bringing his guy onto our...
They're going to
pay.
I'm calling in.
Okay, so we called the show today Geoengineering and Fear Porn because it was going to be so much fun. Little did we know that with no preparation we were going to get to carry the topic. Little snag there. It's a lot less
fun. Well, it's been fun.
It's a lot less fun that way.
So what is fear porn?
You know, I think it's the stuff people get hooked on when they, say...
The sky is falling?
Call people in government offices to rant and rave.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they've been reading it. And I'm pretty sure that this term is going to be used a lot more. I had some pretty good examples of it, but I actually need my computer back. that's the problem with these little small computers that we have all this ability to do all these other things with. Then, magically...
Well, there's, you know, the big thing today is the fake news, you know, and there's just, of course, tons of that. And it always cracks me up when, and it just happened last week, somebody came at me hey, did you hear about so-and-so? And there's a big article. And, really? Where'd you hear that? Well, it's all over the internet. Well,
yeah.
Okay. Whoa, stop. It's all over the internet. Doesn't make it true. I mean, if you – I think this Pizzagate was a classic example of fear porn. You know, if it really sounds bizarre and conspiracy-like – get some sources other than the original one.
How about this bit of cheer in your inbox right before Christmas? What factors may be contributing to the public's willingness and ability to face facts from the front lines? The fluoridated water poisoning of the population is progressing along with expanded forced vaccination campaigns. Are we having forced vaccination campaigns? I mean, I'm not a big vaccination person, but, you know, it kind of makes it sound a little more dramatic than it is. How much are these issues impacting the cognitive function and overall health of the masses? That's you quiet people over there. You guys are the masses right now.
I thought
now.
We were all living longer.
You're all the masses we've got. Obama sidesteps existing laws in order to continue arming the terrorists in Syria. The agenda of the regime change and reserve. Blah, 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 blah. In the meantime, the planetary climate engineering and assault continues unabated while the engineered cold zone remains parked on top of the Dakota water protectors.
Oh, that's why it got so cold up there, because they're trying to drive out the protesters.
The water protectors.
Yeah, we'll get them out of there. We'll get some cold front in there. We'll just freeze them out.
And then we have the censorship of any news source that doesn't parrot the official narrative that's already underway. I'd say that qualifies as fear porn.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. There's my example.
And I'm not saying that the mainstream media gets it right all the time. I'd say they probably get it wrong most of the time. But get both sides. Get both sides of the story. I mean, you watch things like 60 Minutes and Crime Watch and all these, you know, Crime Watch data. They give you all this information, and you got to remember it's one side of the story. And then they want you to text in or you know, email them, let them know what you think. Well, you only heard one side of the story.
Yeah, and you're supposed to weigh in like anyone cares.
Yeah, you're right. This is all bad.
He just wants you to think people care what you think. They don't.
Well, that brings up another topic.
It's a big feel-good.
Who really cares what celebrities think? I mean, they're obviously authorities
anyone?
On all this stuff because they've studied it their whole life. You know.
I know.
Yeah.
Do people – oh, okay. So let's – this just in from high school. Okay, do people in high school care what celebrities think?
I think they don't want to, but yeah.
Are they kind of hooked on it?
Yeah, to an extent.
So some person who sings a song and they say you should whatever, and people go, oh.
Uh-oh, if they say that, it must
be. How much
be
do they
true.
Have to say it before it's actually cool or important?
I don't know. I'm don't tend to be one of those people.
Yeah, you're not one of those junkies, I can tell you. You look pretty normal.
Yeah, I think people don't want to. Like, they don't want to be that person that...
But they're listening to it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of funny how that works. I think the news is that way for a lot of people. It's that way for, like, my mom, for instance. It's that way for, well, my favorite caller of the season after the election. Let's see if our audience here sees any flaws in this particular argument of a hysterical screaming woman that Donald Trump was going to ruin the world, not noteworthy at that point, but went on to cite an example of how Donald Trump was going to ruin the world. He was going to ruin it because he was going to build a wall just like the Nazis did. Back in the 1930s, ready? You know what the wall was for? It was to keep the Jews out.
In the 30s.
I know.
Wow. Not even close.
I know.
I wonder if that's why they built the Great Wall of China.
That must have been. We didn't get that far. The call ended at that
Could
point.
Be.
But yeah.
They were a lot more serious about it.
Yeah, isn't that a lot of fun?
Were they illegal Jews?
All I could think of was, gosh, I'm sure that, I mean, there are lots of ancestors of these people who wish there was a wall built to keep them out instead of, you know. Yeah, and it was about 3 decades off, but other than that, and they were communists and not Nazis. Yeah. But, yeah, so that's what people are worked up over, mm-hmm. I'd say.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't know. They hear something either on a radio show.
Yeah, or, by the way, that was all fake.
Yeah, that was definitely
fake. Somebody actually
we could go over the actual facts. But I think a big source of a lot of this stuff is the internet. You know, people don't particularly young people don't read newspapers anymore, which isn't really a great source of factual information either, but it all comes from the internet. And
you know what? Brian Williams was on TV news. My mom thinks he's fantastic. Look at all the fake places he was.
Yeah, and he's back, too.
So can I say it was fake places where he wasn't? That's like two. That makes it true, doesn't it?
Well, yeah.
Okay, so fake places where he was, even though that makes no sense. I don't know. I guess you find it almost anywhere. But it really is pretty important. If it sounds super crazy, the bad part is nobody wants... Well, we all know the government does all sorts of things, but if they're doing something that's super secret, been going on for a long time, and nobody knows about it, that ought to That ought to push the unlikely button for you. Somebody always squeals.
There's always somebody. I mean, for heaven's sakes. There's always somebody. You know, my dad was in law enforcement his whole life, and
is he a squealer?
No, but he told me, he said, like, 90% of crimes are solved by an informant. Somebody at some point, it might be a week later, it might be 10 years later, but somebody's going to talk, and boom, they crack the case. And that's where it falls apart.
Yeah. So the idea that, you know, there are trillions of dollars going into,
secret government programs.
We are going to talk about the geoengineering thing, I mean, that's always been a huge problem for me. You know, just you look at the money, and then you look at how many people would be involved. It's a lot of people. Got to be a lot of people. And then, of course, it's, well, they're all paid off, right? They're all paid off.
We were accused of being paid off.
That's right. I was accused of working for the Rothschilds.
Bought and paid for.
Yeah. I think Jim's probably been abducted by the Rothschilds at this point.
The money never hit the bank account. I want to know where you put it.
Rotten dogs.
I wonder if you buried it on Oak Island.
Oh, there you go.
I bet that's where you put it. You dropped it down the money pit.
Bill's been Bill's available. If anybody, Bart has to go work for him. So we're watching Oak Island. I'm sure they didn't bury it there, but it is kind of weird to me, though, the idea that regular, just people who normally are pretty discerning would believe that all these people are paid off, and you start looking at it and you go, you know, you've got people who have to write payroll checks. Somebody's got to schedule all these people. I mean, there are regular jobs in every industry. You've got somebody's got to clean the hangar. I mean, it's not just pilots that would be flying overhead. It would be a whole ton of other people. And they're all getting paid off. I'm thinking, wow, if it's that lucrative, you know, we'd all be doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe we are. That's how we're bought off.
But that's the same case with probably 99% of the conspiracy theories out there is, when you look at how many people would have had to have been involved, and nobody ever.
But there's
talked.
Always some truth to it.
There's always some truth, and there's something there.
And that's the part that Mr. Lee is going to come on and talk to us about. We'll just throw that out there again into the to the scheduling gods. Get him on here. Anyway, but there's a lot of stuff out there that sounds good until you start to peel it apart. Mm-hmm. And I think Jim's 3D viewer, we should put that up for you guys. It's really cool. The 3D viewer shows you.
Which you can access through our site.
What weather patterns are, what weather modification programs are happening, what actual geoengineering experiment programs.
There are some legitimate programs going on.
Yeah, whether people like them or not. But there are some real programs happening with that name. But is it doing what, there are many agendas being, here's a little more fear porn for you. There are many agendas being carried out in our skies by the completely out of control power structure. None of those agendas are benevolent or for the common good. Now that's just laden with fact right there. I feel myself overwhelmed and rushing for a pen so I can jot down that. One of the primary objectives of the climate engineers is to keep the first world populations of Western nations confused and divided as to the true condition of the overall global climate. So, let's see, there are seven people in this room. How many people feel confused and divided about the weather? Well, I do believe that unsolicited response says it all.
That's the first thing I think about when I wake up in the morning. I look at my thermometer and go, ooh, it's cold outside.
Confused.
Confused and divided.
And I've always said,
what to wear,
it's
what
a
to
good
wear.
Thing we have global warming, because if we didn't, it would really be cold out
I
there.
I know. And it goes on further, keeping the masses oblivious and bewildered in regard to what is unfolding until the last possible moment is a key aspect of the power structure's planning.
Yep.
They're sitting around planning this, guys, and we are falling victim.
And see, there's a reason I'm bewildered.
The weather makers, it's not the big guy, it's weather makers. Weather makers are desperately trying to engineer winter. At least they're on schedule. With an unimaginably extensive atmospheric manipulation geoengineering processes.
Why don't they engineer summer?
See, that whole everybody thing, like summer. That whole they paragraph, they, I'm sorry, but complain. There was nothing factual.
They wouldn't complain if they engineered summer.
I know. There are all sorts of fun links, though. Which is
how long has this been going on? Because I remember people talking about this decades ago about seeding the clouds.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing, right?
Yeah, they've been doing that for a long time. Yeah. And it's kind of interesting because if you look on his map, you can see where they're actually doing that. Apparently, they still do that. But there's always all this, it's aluminum, it's aluminum.
Yeah, that's what bothers me is that you make that leap to it's going to kill us.
Right.
As opposed to this conspiracy, whatever, you know, people are doing to seed the clouds, that's one thing, but how it actually affects the climate and that, you know, God's healing planet is not going to live through this.
Right. I couldn't even kill my whole yard if I wanted to. It's not even that big.
Well, and if they're...
I mean, honestly, you'd have to be really focused because you have weeds popping up. And yeah. Even Roundup doesn't do it. We all know we've spent some money
on
that.
For one season,
huh?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
oak in the gulch behind us. That
another claim is our forests are all dying. And, you know, for the last, I don't know, 20 years, I've spent a huge amount of time in the forest. And the only thing I really notice is the trees are getting bigger.
Are you Sasquatch? Yeah.
No, I'm not. No.
Oh, okay.
No. But I played one on TV.
You're supposed to say you stayed at a Holiday Inn Express.
Yeah, that's a
Sasquatch. Yeti call.
Yeah, that's a Yeti call right there.
Yeah, I always wondered what side of the plane Al Gore was looking out of when he thought that the forests were being decimated.
Yeah. Well, again, back to the Contra Costa Times, the bastion of all that is true. When I was living in Humboldt County, I go down to my mom's, and right there on her front page of her paper, the last redwoods were being cut.
Oh, yeah.
Really? I was like, redwoods, how about like the ones weeds in my yard? Are they are they cutting those, too? I mean, it just, you know. But people don't get out that much, so they don't see it. So it's easy to believe. Oh, yep, it's happening.
More fear-mongering.
Bob, are you...
I'll run the baby It's Cold Outside parody.
Oh, did you find it?
I think I found the right one, but we'll come back with it so I can check with our studio audience here to make sure I have the right one.
We're going to take a survey.
Turns out there are a lot of them out there.
Oh.
And I'm sure they're not all suitable for broadcast. But.
Oh, well, that...
Well, keep your finger on the button.
That makes it lots of fun. That's why we have the button that we've never used. Today's the day.
But we'll give you we'll give you a relatively new recording of the traditional version.
Yeah.
Take you out with Rod Stewart and Dolly Parton.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a scary visual.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
It's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you'd stop in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're just
my mother will start to worry.
Beautiful. Watch
and my
hurry.
Father will be pacing the
just
floor.
Just listen to that fireplace
now
roar.
Really, I'd better
sweetheart. What's your hurry?
Well, maybe just a half a
why don't
more.
You put some records on while
oh,
I'm
the neighbors might think.
But baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
No cabs to be hired out there.
Oh, I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlight
to
now.
This spell.
Can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has
hoping
been
hoping that you drop
so
in.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hands there just like
my
ice.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your
my
hurry?
Father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
So really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't
well,
hurry.
Well, maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some records on while I pour.
The neighbors might think.
Maybe it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew
your eyes
how
are like starlight
to
now.
Break this spell.
I'll take your hat
Your hair looks swell.
I'll say no,
mind
sir.
Mind if I move in closer?
At least I'm going to say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out.
Maybe it's cold outside.
Oh, even the fun songs can be made into stalker songs.
You need to see that video.
Yeah, the video's...
It's under Funny or Die on YouTube.
What a...
Yikes!
Those are your choices, Funny or Die. Okay, so we have, what, a minute and a half. This is classic We the People radio pratfalls.
We're not on the air, right?
Oh, well, yeah, no. We are.
Oh, we are on the air. Welcome.
Just sounds like we're goofing off.
Well, that's always a good time.
We like to involve everyone in our goofing off because otherwise what fun have we had?
Exactly.
Jim, you want to give people a minute, a good solid minute of what we're going to do next hour when we actually do something that isn't screwing around?
Well, it's totally dependent on what you want to talk about. Because
no,
I'm
they
totally
don't want
game
that.
game for just about anything. But I guess I'll just tell people who I am.
I'm
Jim Lee from Sumter, South Carolina. My website is climateviewer.com. My other website is climateviewer.org. The climateviewer.com is my blog. That's where I post all my research. It's mostly like geoengineering, weather modification, chemtrails, HAARP, propaganda, slave speak, nuclear, surveillance. I map things. And I break them down in research format over there. And then on climateviewer.org, I have a map. It's a 3D globe, and you can see all of this stuff. Really interesting. We'll talk about that probably. And my last website is weathermodificationhistory.com, which is going to be launched probably tonight, I hope. That's me in a nutshell. I got three websites and I talk a lot.
Well, we got a lot to talk about and a lot to cover in the next hour, so we'll talk fast.
We'll talk not at all. They've heard enough of us.
Yeah.
We've goofed off just plenty for people. So we'll be back with Jim Lee. We'll be talking about geoengineering and his title. He said we should add the words fear porn because it's just fun. And what are you going to do about that? So anyway, you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Kind of loud. second hour of We the People Radio with a lot less of We the People and a lot more of Jim Lee, our guest. So we're not going to take up any more of his time because you heard all that in the first hour. We'll tell you that all of the stuff we're talking about is posted on the page at wethepeopleradio.us. And he has some really awesome websites, and I know we're going to talk about his mapping tool because it's amazing. But Jim, we get a lot out here in our neck of the woods about geoengineering, and a lot of it is, you know, they're spraying aluminum on us and all this stuff. You know, what's the scoop on that?
Well, it's actually really, really, really complicated. And that's the number one problem with the chemtrail debate is that I think everybody wants to sit on the couch and have it spoon-fed to them. And, you know, in order for me to do that, it's going to take a couple hours for you to really, really understand how complicated it actually is. And I'll just lead with this one. Aerosol cloud interaction is the greatest unknown in climate science today. And what I mean by that is that how particles in the air form clouds and what those clouds do in climate models is so poorly understood it's almost not even existent in IPCC models, in projections of what the future would be like if we geoengineered models, even though we already are. None of these models accurately account for clouds. And that's like the biggest, you know, scam going around is that they're so confident in their projections that CO2 is a problem that they're not really talking about the clouds. What makes it more interesting is that five geoengineers co-authored the IPCC reports on contrails. So that's an obvious conflict of interest. when you're talking about people who are out lobbying for the government to buy planes, rent planes, borrow planes, hijack planes, and convert them to spray chemicals into the stratosphere to block sunlight. So that's what they call geoengineering solar radiation management. They've now like kind of abandoned the term solar radiation management. Now they want to call it albedo modification. And albedo is the amount of light that is reflected back to space, the radiation budget, as they like to say, of the planet. So what they're talking about is they saw Mount Pinatubo blow sky high. They said, this is a great idea. You know, that volcano just cooled the planet. They did it with sulfuric acid. We could put sulfuric acid in the sky, cool the planet ourselves. It'll be cheap, in fact, according to David Keith and Ken Caldera. So in 1994, Edward Teller, the father of the hydrogen bomb, the man euphemistically known by his friends as Dr. Evil,
nice.
By his own friends,
yeah, that's not good.
He created geoengineering as a weapon that should never be used, very similar to the hydrogen bomb. It was a threat to the world, you know, stop polluting so much or we will geoengineer. Much like the, you know, nuclear arms race, stop or this hydrogen bomb will erase you from the planet. So that's the similarity that I see in the push for geoengineering today. And it gets very, very muddied by certain individuals who like to refer to chemtrails as a geoengineering program, because at the end of the day, there is this massive push for a global governance and, you know, controlling what I call legalized geoengineering. And then there is the geoengineering that has been going on for 60 plus years from ship tracks and what is also called aviation induced cloudiness. So what's really going on, if you really want to start with nuts and butts, is that there's two kinds of geoengineering. There's the geoengineering that's been happening for 60 years from ship tracks and planes. And then there's the legalized geoengineering that's being proposed in all these governance circles with these NGOs writing laws to try to decide that if they ever do legalize geoengineering, how do you pay for the dead people?
Right.
Because COP21 happened last year. This is the climate of conference of Paris 21. It's where Obama and all of the world leaders signed the, you know, declaration that we will not let the planet heat up more than 2 degrees Celsius. Now that was all a setup, and what they said was before the meeting that in order to meet a 2 degrees Celsius, you know, temperature rise goal, that we would need to do geoengineering or climate engineering, as it was rebranded. And then finally, it was rebranded as climate intervention, because engineering's a bad thing. Everybody knows that cars brakes, and you don't want somebody, an engineer, breaking the climate. So they stopped calling it climate engineering or geoengineering. They started calling it climate intervention. And guess who paid for that term? The CIA. So the CIA funded the National Academy of Science report that just happened last year. And in it, they said, we should not call it climate engineering. We should call it climate intervention. And the CIA paid $630,000 to study geoengineering. Another interesting coincidence happened. The CIA called a geoengineer. His name is Alan Robach. And they said, if another country was geoengineering our climate, would we know it? And Alan Robach said, yeah, I think we would. I think. Mm-hmm. And he was wrong. So Diane Seidel, I think I'm saying her name right, was at the 20th annual weather modification conference. They have them in Phoenix. I think it was in Phoenix. This was in January of 2015. So she's at the AMS, the American Meteorological Society's conference on planned and inadvertent weather modification. That's the title of it. And In January 2015, she said, no, we cannot detect rogue geoengineering. We would not be able to tell the difference between if God made the sky cloudy and if man made the sky cloudy. Which really set my head on its side, because then I thought to myself, well, if that's the case, if there's no way to legally catch somebody geoengineering the planet, and we know that they are geoengineering with ships and planes, what do we do about it? That's why I built Climate Viewer 3D. So, like, I had started building this. I taught myself to code websites like 3 or 4 years ago, and I'm finally getting good at it. Because my old websites look like crap. You should go to Wayback Machine and take a look. But it's finally starting to look good. And I went and I got all of the satellites and weather data, like the wind direction, precipitation, radar, and I put it all into one map in the hopes that I could detect a man-made alteration of the weather or climate. And I found a couple interesting ones. One time I saw a wall appear above Harp, where literally the clouds looked like they hit a wall and they all went south when they should have been going east. And it was very interesting. And I noticed that the Harp transmitter was on during that period, and I documented the whole thing. Anyway, I'm working on a big documentary at some point where I can go, this is what it really looks like when they modify the weather, but stay tuned for that. So that was the purpose of building Climate Viewer 3D, was that, A, you can't catch somebody doing weather warfare. So if, some government decided to steer a hurricane our way or make it rain really hard and flood us out, we would never be able to catch them. And now we have geoengineering to deal with. How could we catch somebody who's geoengineering the planet? So that's why I built Climate Viewer 3D, and it's at climateviewer.org. And we're still working on it. You know what I mean? Eventually, I want to go with sensors that you could buy, put in your backyard, and detect aerosols, detect if there's a radioactive release near your house, have an all-sky camera so we can see the cloud formations over your house and record it permanently, have it publicly available. So we would build a sensor network to rival NASA's aerosol robotic network and, the EPA's RadNet. Just do it all in one unit. It detects, silver iodide, aluminum, barium, strontium, uranium, cesium. Now, this would be expensive, don't get me wrong, but with demand comes a drop in price. So in the future, what I'm talking about here is the future. Is the future, it will be a citizen-powered network where you have a sensor that you can put on top of your house and verify it your dang self.
Right.
That'd be nice.
And that's my solution, and that's what I'm pushing for is – there was a law passed in 1978 banning weather warfare, and it's called NMOD. And it was a UN, resolution, treaty, paper, whatever. And they did it because we were modifying the weather in Vietnam. It's called Operation Popeye, Operation Motor Pool, a couple other things. But basically, we were making the Ho Chi Minh Trail so muddy that the Viet Cong couldn't travel along it. So we were doing rainfall enhancement, precipitation augmentation, whatever you want to call it. We were making it rain in Vietnam with 3 planes for 5 years. And nobody knew. This was top secret. Nobody knew. On Lyndon Johnson's desk in the Oval Office, Jack Anderson, reporter, saw a note that said, continue Popeye, and the word weather modification on there. And the rest is history. If he hadn't seen the memo, we'd never know this happened. There'd have been no NMOD. Then Senator Pell had some hearings to follow up, on what Jack Anderson had found. And he says, we should ban weather warfare altogether. And then later we had NMOD. Well, the thing is, in 1978, they banned weather warfare. There is no way to this day to detect weather warfare. So I'm just shaking my head. I'm not a PhD holding Nobel laureate, person, but if you're going to ban a thing, you might want to be able to tell when the thing is happening.
Right. So, Jim, in the case of Vietnam, though, they had to have clouds present in order for that program to work, didn't they? I mean, could they actually create clouds out of a blue sky and make it rain in a certain area?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. So, You do have to have moisture present, but yes, the military can create its own clouds. We see that every day with jet aircraft. So back in 58, the U.S. Navy was dumping carbon black soot, carbon black dust, which is similar to soot. It is a nanoparticle black spherule. It's a circle, tiny little, you know, golf ball, but minuscule, like, you know, you could barely see it. It would look like soot in your, if you went camping and you burn a fire, that black ash you see. They would take this carbon black dust in 58, suspend it in a liquid, and pour it out the back of a plane, and they made a mile-long straight cloud. Then they went back, and they did the same thing, except they did little spurts, and they made little puffy round clouds. Then they went back with the same plane and the same dust, did not suspend it in a liquid, put the carbon black dust into those clouds and melted them away. 1958.
Hmm.
So they've known since the early 50s that carbon black dust is an excellent cloud seed, and a cloud seed is the little nugget at the middle of every single drop of water in a cloud. And that's what water coalesces on. It sticks to it. And as that water gets bigger, it falls down, and that's what rain is. So if it weren't for cloud seeds, which are aerosols, these are tiny little particles free floating in the atmosphere, that's what makes clouds, that's what makes rain, that is the magic, you know, bullet for geoengineering, weather modification, all this. You have to understand aerosols and seeds and how they make clouds and how they affect weather. And the military has known about this since 58. They were using it. NOAA was using carbon black dust during Operation Storm Fury, modifying hurricanes. The military today, in 1994, there were two FOIAs, one to the U.S. Air Force, one to the Navy. And the U.S. Air Force Phillips Lab said that they wanted to use carbon black dust to modify the weather. And owning the U.S. Navy said, we need to start doing weather modification again as well. So even though there's NMOD on the books, even though it's illegal, they're back at it. They also went to the Owning the Weather in 2025 paper. In there, there's a slide that says we need to create carbon black dust weather modification by 2005, and it's to be developed by the Department of Defense. Hmm. Then the very next year, Dr. Arnold Barnes from the Air Force Phillips Lab, not a coincidence, gave a talk at the U.S. Army and U.S. Air Force Joint Test Technology Symposium, Weather Modification 97. And in 1997, he said, let's use carbon black dust to modify the weather. And the reasons I want to do it are the same reasons we did it in Popeye, to muddy roads, to wash out bridges.
Right.
So history is now repeating itself. And we have the military involved in weather warfare. We have the CIA involved in rogue geoengineering because climate change is a national security concern.
Yeah.
And that's why people see the CIA's airliners, which they have their own airline. Look it up. And these are white planes that are unmarked. So this is not like a hop, skip, and a jump away from reality. This is reality. And that's what I try to tell people about chemtrails is, yes, you've got military weather warfare. It's never going to be public. They don't have to tell you. You'll find out when you're 50 years from now, they'll admit to it because most of the people who did it are dead. And the CIA, national security, you know, that's what, you know, it's critical infrastructure, protect it from the national security concern that is rising oceans and blah, blah, blah. So because Obama has pushed this narrative that it is a national security concern, that it has really come to fruition since 2005 when it was first mentioned in all these government documents, but basically the U.S. government is scared of climate change because of things like Water 2025, water wars, the blue gold rush, that there will be mass migrations. Even in America, they have like civilian conflict zones where people will be shooting it out over water in Arizona.
Well, we got to take a real quick break, Jim. But when we come back, I want to stay on this. I want to know what we're seeing in the skies and what that's about.
We can definitely do it.
All righty. We'll be right back. You can find all the information about Jim Lee and all his multiple websites. And I do hope you go to the Climate Viewer because it's very, very cool. It's at wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
not give a damn, but shit.
You are listening to We the People. We've got Jim Lee with us, who researches environmental pollution, geoengineering, and has a bunch of apparently mind control articles on his website. I just don't know how I skipped over that one last time. You must have been using your special mind control on me. as I start coughing yet again, sorry about that. Okay, Jim. So, We had a call during the break there, so we get a lot of information that the geoengineers are spraying. You know, the reason we find aluminum in the soil is it's coming out of spray nozzles in planes overhead.
Well, it's because we see almost every day we see these trails in the sky that are different patterns. I mean, some of them, I agree, are a checkerboard pattern, and some of them are, you know.
So you had, but
parallel
you had told
lines.
Me last week on the phone about some of where the aluminum comes from. Can you hit that a little bit so we don't forget?
Yeah. So aluminum's in the jet fuel. Boom. It's naturally there. It's so back in the day, the military used to use JP5 jet fuel. It was gasoline-based fuel. And I've got a spectral analysis. That's where they tear apart the material and see what's in it. You know what I mean? Like on the atomic level. And in the JP5 was about 2,000 parts per billion of aluminum. But don't get me wrong. But then from 1988 to 1996, the entire NATO organization switched from gasoline to diesel fuel. And most people don't know this. It's called the NATO single fuel concept. And in this conversion, they pretty much destroyed their engines. they destroyed fuel filters. They had to redesign a lot of the fuel delivery systems. But long story short, if you went and put diesel fuel in your gas-burning Ford Mustang, I think you can imagine what would happen.
Yeah, bad thing.
So, yeah, the reason they did this is that it was called one fuel for the battlefield. And the idea was NATO could save a whole lot of money on gas if they could put the same gas in their tanks, jeeps, and planes. So they were putting diesel fuel in the tanks and in the jeeps, and they were putting gas in the planes, and the planes were exploding because people would shoot them with a bullet and a spark would make it explode. And the diesel fuel, much lower flash point, so it's much safer. You know, there was a bunch of reasons they did it, but at the end of the day, they did it to save money. So, allegedly, to save money. So, they started this single fuel concept in 1988. They completed it in 1996, and they invented something called JP8. And JP8 has 9,000 parts per billion of aluminum in it.
And is it a gasoline base or is it a diesel
base? It's a diesel fuel. So it's a kerosene base. Instead of a gasoline base, it's kerosene. And most people don't know this. So I have to throw that out there. So in the jet fuel itself, in the JP-8, is 9,000 parts per billion of aluminum. Now, we're talking somewhere around 20 billion gallons of fuel burned every year. So what seems like not a lot becomes a lot. Because the flash point of the fire in the back of the exhaust is not high enough. The temperature of the exhaust is not high enough to vaporize that aluminum, so to speak. That aluminum is pretty much coming out as aluminum oxide, aluminum something. So regardless, the aluminum's in the jet fuel. It is burned, and then it goes out into the atmosphere. And coincidentally, the single fuel concept ended in 1996 when they had converted all 20-something countries of jets to kerosene in 1996. And 1997 was the first time the word chemtrails was ever used on the internet. And the first three articles about chemtrails were about JP-8. So if you don't know the history, you're probably going to get real far off the mark real quick because, as the title of the show states, there is a lot of fear porn associated with chemtrails. And my main goal at climateviewer.com is where conspiracy meets reality. You know, I'm not a debunker. I'm a guy who proves conspiracies, you know, and I don't waste my time on ones I can't prove. And this one, I can prove. I can prove to you where the aluminum comes from, how you make the clouds, what they do, who's modifying them, this stuff called fuel sulfur content geoengineering, where now they're trying to alter the sulfur content of jet fuel to cool the planet, because currently these clouds are trapping heat and heating the planet. And that means that the airline industry is going to have to pay a healthy carbon tax. So if they don't get their feces consolidated, they're going to be broke. Hmm. And this is something that most people don't know about. And if you're going to be a researcher, what's the number one rule?
You have to actually do the research.
That and follow the money.
Right, right.
So if you follow the money, the number one cost in the airline industry is their fuel bill. And that's why there's so much, technology that goes into this fuel today. And that's why we saw the chemtrail, phenomena start in 1997, was because suddenly 28 countries of military planes were flying kerosene-based fuels that had a whole lot more aluminum in it and a whole lot more. Now, so you have to ask yourself, was that an intentional geoengineering program, or was it just to change the jet fuel to kerosene so they could save money? Whichever side of the fence you fall on, the people who decided that, it's not a huge conspiracy. You know what I mean? Like, there are literally like seven guys who are on something called the NATO Pipeline Committee. And the NATO Pipeline Committee can determine, A, what the jet fuel needs to be, and B, what additives go in it. And once they decide that, those seven people, 28 countries simultaneously are flying with that kind of fuel. This is not rocket science here. I mean, you literally have a group of people in a secret committee, because their names are not public. Trust me, if it was, I'd have found it. I got to a couple classified walls on the internet and couldn't go beyond them. But regardless, the NATO Pipeline Committee writes these things called STANAGs, and these STANAGs are used by the military for their, these are what the performance of the fuels have to be, this is what has to be in them, these are the additives you add to it. And also in 1996, when the chemtrail thing started, they came up with something called a plus 100 additive. And it's got like five trade secret ingredients in it, so it's a secret. And they put it in there to heat the fuel up another 100 degrees. And that was another aha, what the crap moment. They use the fuel tank in a jet plane as a radiator. So they actually heat the fuel to like 200 degrees. And this plus 100 additive allows them to heat the fuel to 300 degrees with the purpose of being able to fly higher. So like the U-2 spy plane is a great example. It flies up into the stratosphere. It is freezing freaking cold up there. So they came up with a chemical they could just add to the jet fuel, which would allow them to make the ice crystals in the jet fuel, as they're exiting, smaller. And anybody who knows anything about cloud seeds and how sublimation works and how these aerosols interact in the atmosphere, what you find out is the smaller the particle, the longer it stays in the atmosphere. So the longer its resident time. So if you're making ice crystals that are smaller, they're going to stay up there longer, and they're going to fan out and make cirrus clouds. And that's what everybody's seeing. So what I try to tell you, and we just went over weather warfare, CIA, yes, that stuff still happens to this day, and I guarantee it. But
so are you saying that the clouds that are the trails that we're seeing in the skies today in checkerboard patterns and parallel patterns, and they're being intentionally put up there by the CIA?
No. See, that's where I always, and this is why a lot of people, hate on me, because I don't get a lot of love from either camp, debunkers or the other people, because I'm trying to be realistic about this.
Yeah, so, Bill.
Well, no, I am too. And this is all we hear is there's this secret program, and that's what they're doing.
They're all being paid off.
Everybody's paid off. They got these planes equipped with these big spray systems and nozzles and all this stuff. What's your take on that?
I've never seen a nozzle that I couldn't find the original photo for it, and it was fake. So. And that's in 6 years. And I challenge anybody, bring it my way, Jim at climateviewer.com. I've seen them all. And there's a thing called Google Image Search you guys really should try. You just drag an image to the Google bar. It'll show you everywhere that was ever posted before. And even if it was Photoshopped a little bit, you can usually find the original. Hmm. But most of them are like flame retardant systems or ballast tests. Ballast tests are when you first build a plane, you want to pretend that a 400-pound man ran from the front of the plane to the back of the plane. And the reason you do that is because he's got to poop really bad, and you don't want him to do it mid-flight and find out the plane will flip itself over. So they put these ballast tanks in where the seats would be, and they rapidly move liquids from one tank to the other. That's why you see pump pipes connecting them all together, and that's to simulate occupants or cargo in the plane moving. Yeah, you do that at altitude to make sure the plane isn't going to flip over, fall apart. They do it. It's required for every plane when it's first designed. I guarantee you that. So a lot of people use these photos. They say, look, it's a bunch of chemtrail. You know, I would love to find one that was real, but I have not, and that's why I stick to my story.
So what are we seeing? If they're not intentionally laying these patterns down, who is it and what are they doing?
Okay, so there's a thing called Skynet. Ooh, I didn't mean to call it that. It's called NextGen. So there's this supercomputer, not called Skynet, called NextGen, that's owned by the FAA, and it actually routes all of the flights. So there are highways in the sky.
Right.
And these planes, they fly on computer-controlled routes that are determined by it. Now, it has something called the Aviation Environmental Design Toolkit, AEDT. And do I really need to explain Aviation Environmental Design Toolkit?
That's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, it is. So what it does is it tells the supercomputer, it makes a judgment, and it says the wind's going this way, and you're going to fly from here to here. So you're going to have to fly into the wind, and if you fly at this angle, at this speed, burning this much thrust, that you will save X amount of gallons of fuel. And they also have these noise ordinances that the computer has to account for. So you're not allowed to like burn your engine wide open over a city. So you have to account for that. And the computer tells them everything. So technically, in most cases, these pilots are literally taking off and then turning on the autopilot, because that's what they're designed to do. That's what the system is designed to do. It saves them a ton of money. So you get these highways in the sky, and you end up where they're on a laser. I mean, it's a laser accurate path. I've done it over my house. Plane comes over directly over my house. The wind is blowing. Now the trail has moved to the side. Another plane comes over directly over my house. Now I've got two parallel lines. The wind keeps blowing. Another one comes over my house. I've got three parallel lines. And in many cases, these paths overlap. So that's why you end up with checkerboards. The sky is a river. It's constantly moving, and the planes aren't actually moving. They're in the exact same damn spot as they're coming over because the computer told them to.
Are these military planes and civilian aircraft?
That's why I want to draw the line as clear as I can. I would say 10% of what I've seen in video evidence could be attributed to the CIA or military. The rest of it is American Airlines and Delta, and that is pollution. Now, here's the thing, and I've been saying this for 6 years, and you know what? I have not seen any evidence to the contrary. If I had, I'd be shouting it from the rooftops. Now, the white planes that we're seeing that are unmarked, those are more than likely CIA planes. They could be military planes, but regardless, that junk is top secret. What you going to do about it? I want to do something about it. I'm trying to be pragmatic. The rest of it is, you know, grandma flying home for Thanksgiving. You can go get augmented reality viewers. I do it myself. Bring my iPad outside, hold it up in the air, look at the plane. Little circle appears around the plane. I click on it. Delta Airlines. So when I'm seeing commercial flights on a regular basis doing the exact same thing, sometimes not to the degree of the white planes I'm seeing, you know, some of those white planes I see go overhead, they can coat most of the sky by themselves, insanely wide trails. So that's why it looks like they're intentionally up to something. But the plane, the other planes, they're still making clouds, and they're making lots of them. And the thing is, how do you find a smoking gun proving this? Well, I have one, but it happened in 2010. So in 2010, Ulrich Schumann is a German scientist from the DLR. He went to the ICAO, the International Civil Aviation Organization. This is an organization of all the airline carriers, and it's a UN organization. He went to them in 2010 and said, we need less warming and more cooling contrails, and we need them predictable for operational control. He then went and made a program called the Contrail Cirrus Prediction Tool, COSIP, which will tell them when the planes are going to make clouds. The smoking gun of this, that Delta Airlines and American are now involved in geoengineering, is that statement alone. We don't want contrails that trap heat. We want cooling ones. So what he's saying there is, we're not going to get rid of these clouds. We like them. We just don't like what they're doing. So we need to find out a way to make them do what we want, and that is a geoengineering experiment. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
It totally does. Bob, your call. Take the call, take the break.
Yeah, we can take the call.
Okay. We have Lori on the line. She has a question for you, Jim.
Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, Jim. I'm not sure if you can hear me. Sometimes on remotes it's hard, but can you hear me?
Oh, just fine.
Go ahead. He can hear you.
Thank you. My question is, with the earlier conversation about people being potentially paid off, I'm wondering if that's not so much the case as it is the federal illegal gag order by NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, as well as the National Weather Service, so that people who are the top execs all the way down to the person at the copy machine are forbidden to talk about any of their policies, their non-disclosure agreements, and so forth. So it might not just be about ka-ching, money, and silencing in the traditional sense. And my other question was the topic of radio frequency, that we see these herringbone patterns that are either from DARPA cell towers, and they're creating these steering or microwaving these emissions or aerosols, or there's so many names for what we're all talking about. So I'm just concerned about that dynamic and the patterns. That's my third question, Jim, if you can address. A lot of these commercial aircraft are not doing U-turns. They're not doing corkscrews. They're not following each other within a few feet or following each other in the same line. Or sometimes I have film footage of four jets and craft in four different directions in one shot of the sky. And I've been doing this for a couple years. So I just wanted to get your assessment on some of these other observations, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you. Excellent question. So we'll start at the last one. So that's exactly what she was talking about, is exactly what I'm talking about. It's the 10%. There's always going to be these cases where we see something that we know is not commercial aviation. And there's plenty of examples of these videos, and I'm sure that she could provide a couple for you. But, yeah, planes doing U-turns, planes just hanging out, doing circles in one spot, like an E3 AWACS just spinning around. We're always going to see weird things that are not attributable to the airline industry. They're attributable to the military and the CIA. And I'm trying to draw this line for people so that they understand that 10%, it's going to be very tough to deal with those people because they have, you know, very strict agendas, which are classified, and we're going to have a tough time dealing with them. But if you just call what they're doing pollution, you could deal with it today. And that's just a mindset thing that I have. It's about being pragmatic. I know that you're up to something nefarious, but I'm going to call it pollution because I can walk into a court and say the military is polluting the sky. Here's video footage of it. But if I walk into a court and I say the military is up to a secret program, here's footage of it, they're going to laugh me out the room. And that is why people use fear porn to control this chemtrail narrative, is that they want to arm you with all this fear and get you to use terms that are guaranteeing that when you go to make action, you will fail. So the other question she asked about the NOAA gag orders, there was a second one in the middle, and I'm missing it. But the gag order thing is true. So we're in a situation where, you know, there's a lot of public awareness about this sort of this topic now, geoengineering, weather modification, cloud seeding, cloud ionizers, even ionospheric heaters, you know, because of people like me, you know, and others. You know, we're really raising the awareness about this stuff. So now we're in a situation where they're getting tough questions. And that's where, you know, you just mentioned, Aaron, that on my website I talk about mind control. Mind control I talk about, I try to put a different spin on it, because at the end of the day, chemtrails and mind control are intimately locked because there are perception managers. And perception managers troll the internet and try to control your perception. And their purpose is to use terminology to confuse, tactics to divide, and all that agent provocateur stuff you've ever heard. So these perception managers know that the airline industry is polluting the sky, know that they are heating the planet, know that they are under the gun from carbon taxes, and they don't want anybody to focus on the facts. You know, the facts about how they're passing laws to put biofuels into jets that are biofuels made from landfill waste, biofuels made from chicken fat, biofuels made from algae, camelina plant, and the list goes on. Right now, the airline industry is buying up farms around the world to grow gasoline to make chemtrails go away. And if you don't know about biofuels and you don't know this massive industry that's currently working very desperately to geoengineer jet fuel to either make the clouds go away using things like cirrus cloud seeding with bismuth triiodide, this is Pepto-Bismol sprayed from planes to make chemtrails melt away, laser ice multiplication for geoengineering, this is shooting lasers at chemtrails from the ground to make the ice smaller and make it spread out and coat the entire sky. You can't make this stuff up.
Wow.
And the final one that's really on the board right now is use biofuels on takeoff and use sulfur-doped fuel at altitude, the two-tank solution. This is what was proposed right after Ulrich Schumann said, hey, we got a problem with these contrails heating the planet. We need to make them cool the planet. We need to geoengineer these now. This is a circumvention of international law. There are bans in place on geoengineering. But because they've been, quote, accidentally geoengineering for 60 years, actually geoengineering now isn't such a big thing now, is it? And that's why I say it's dangerous that people like he who shall not be mentioned.
I caught myself.
Oh, man.
Lord Voldemort.
Somebody hit their finger on the button.
When Voldemort tells you that geoengineering is already happening, perception managers would tell you that is called normalization. It's already going on. Methane is going to blow up the planet.
Oh, yeah.
We need geoengineering to save you from methane. So it's a fine line to walk to say that geoengineering, the program, is already happening when they're trying so desperately to legalize geoengineering.
Jim, we got to take a quick break, but I want to come right back to that because I want to talk about the sky catching on fire.
Yeah. So, the other, and you know what? The other thing, too, that it's causing global warming and that we're causing it. I want to do that, too.
We could talk about that.
Yeah, and Lori's last question was about the herringbone patterns. I actually made a list.
Oh.
Yeah. I knew if I made a list, we'd be okay. So
thank you, because I didn't have a pen, and I was like, oh,
no,
God.
It's okay.
We'll get that when we come back. We've got to take a quick break so they don't pile up at the back end there.
No worries. We'll be right back with our friend Jim Lee talking about geoengineering and fear porn, the catchiest title we've ever had. Thanks, Jim.
I need a sign to let me know you're here. All of these lines are being crossed over the atmosphere. At all.
I don't know Klaus at all, I'll tell you right now. And the more I learn, the less I like them. Hey, is the secret ingredients that they're putting in the fuel, does that also include the barium and the strontium and all the magic ingredients we're finding in the soil today? Uh-oh. Is Jim there?
Is Jim on mute?
Jim?
Did we lose Jim?
Oh, no, we're going to end.
I'm here.
I was are we going to have to end the way we began?
No, heck no. And I do want to apologize for putting you in such a bad spot.
It's okay. We threw your wife under the bus.
I miscommunicated with my wife, my schedule, and I double booked myself, which is horrible. So my apologies for
that.
That's all
right.
I'll never, ever do it again.
We had some good fun at your expense.
These people are excellent people.
Oh, thanks for that.
Well, we're going to force you to come on.
His wife forced him to say it was his fault.
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll have to do this again, and we'll have to do the full 2 hours so that we can really dig into this. Are we running out of time?
Of course.
Jump on that.
Yeah, we
that
have herring, like 5 minutes. Do the herringbone thing. Yeah.
Those are also called Lee waves. And my last name is Lee. Lee waves are also called gravity waves. I don't want to have a discussion about gravity because it's really a sticky topic. But at the end of the day, that's part of why I mapped out all of these high-powered microwaves around the world. You can see them at climateviewer.org. When you have multiple million-watt microwaves around the world, and nobody really talking about the fact that, you know, gravity waves can be created by these high-powered microwaves, especially like HARP creating ELF waves. These are frequencies that are low frequency that can affect your brain. They can affect earthquakes. When we're talking about ELF waves and low frequencies, that's where it starts to get interesting. And I hope to be putting out something lengthy on that to get some science behind it, because unfortunately there are very few people who are willing to talk about an interaction between electromagnetics and weather. It is very rare that I can find documented proof that ties these together. So that's why I don't harp about it very much, because I need something that I can hold up in a court of law to back up what I'm going to say, because I don't want to mislead people. But I could tell you this, something that nobody's heard about in this audience, go up, look up cloud ionizers on climateviewer.com. And cloud ionizers are cloud seeding with electricity, releasing ions into the atmosphere to steer atmospheric rivers or tropospheric rivers. And interestingly enough, in 2012, a company got a permit to modify the weather in Texas to steer an atmospheric river to Texas. And since 2012, Texas has been flooded and California has been dry because their river has stopped coming.
Hmm. And is that a result of what they did in Texas, you think?
I certainly do. I wrote an article called How Texas Stole California's Rain.
Wow. You're right. I don't think many people have heard about that.
And the other thing I would like to throw out for you California droughters, there was a study called CalWater 2015, and in it the term overseeding has been now floated in the scientific industry. And what they're basically saying is that all of the pollution from these planes going overhead are putting too many seeds into the sky. And because there are too many seeds up there, the water cannot get big enough to fall. So that's another effect of chemtrails that you never would have considered. It's called water scavenging or overseeding. It actually puts too many particles for them to get big enough to make raindrops to fall. And that's why we get flooding on the East Coast and drought conditions on the West Coast. All of that moisture is attaching to all of these seeds. They can't fall. And then finally, enough moisture builds up, we have torrential rainfall on the East Coast.
And a lot of that's
Who's doing that?
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
All the jet traffic.
Oh, so it's an unintentional.
Whether it's a secret agenda or not, the jet traffic alone, 20 billion gallons of gas a year being burned, 110,000 flights a day, and they're all computer controlled on a highway over your sky. In California, there are three major highways that run from the north to the south of the California. So there are three major highways over California that are constantly trafficked, that are constantly laying down seeds, which are constantly creating drought conditions.
So it's an unintentional effect.
So before we lose you in like a minute, global warming, where does that hit with all this?
I was just at a conference last weekend, or on the 2nd of December in Arizona, called Global Warming, an Inconvenient Lie. And it's about how CO2 is a scam, man-made, anthropogenic-based CO2 is a scam. And this is not a fossil fuel industry narrative, because I, too, have mapped out fracking. I abhor fracking. I was actually the person who did the Bayou Corn sinkhole that Aaron Brockovich held up my map in a court of law when they were suing the fossil fuel industry that destroyed their town. So this is not coming from a fossil fuel guy or some bull crap. This CO2-based narrative is an oversimplification of a very complex process. Pollution is bad, climate change happens, and CO2 has nothing to do with it.
Thank you for that.
Wow, Jim, that was literally less than a minute.
Yeah, we do need to have you back on, because there's so many more questions we need to ask you. But
we've posted a couple of your really – we've got a ton of good videos, but the history of chemtrails, how to geoengineer a planet with jet fuel, and the other one that's like almost 2 hours, geoengineering, weather modification, and weaponizing nature.
Oh, yeah, and that's a good one.
That's a really good one, and those are all on Jim's site, I know, and I've published them on ours. Thank you very much, Jim Lee. We're going to have you on after the first of the year, and we're going to calendar that directly with your wife.
Please do, because I'm terrible.
You have a Merry Christmas. Thanks so much.
You too. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. So we the people will be back after Christmas. We hope you guys have a very merry one. And you can find us all at wethepeopleradio.us. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Bill.